Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation's unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I lost the central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Have my pseudonym a group of men, it doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Welcome to Tokens Radio Show. It's Sunday, April 21st. My name's Christy.
I'm Linda.
I'm Peter.
And I'm Lauren Hoddle.
And we have special returning guest today, Christine Cranley, here in the studio.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Christine.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you.
It is.
Good
to have
you. Getting addicted.
We're broadcasting live from the studios of KCNR in Redding, California, on both 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. You can stream us online at KCNR1460.com to catch today's show and access our previous shows. Follow us on Telegram and X for updates at Tokens Radio Show. And we've got Christina, our wonderful Christina, in the booth.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Christina.
Good afternoon. Happy to see you again.
Yes.
Happy
Sunday. It's good to see you.
Thank you for some of the refreshments we had earlier. That was nice. Thank
White
you.
Means.
Indeed.
Yes. Really appreciate it. Hi, Paul. Good to see you. So we have a guest in the producer studio. So anyway, good to see you guys.
Thank you.
Yes. So as I said earlier, we have returning guest Christine Cranley. So we're so excited to see you. She works with the Bitcoin Blockchain Council, and she's an investment advisor and a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to talk about here shortly. And so we look forward to...
And she likes to hang out with us.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying.
We're very blessed to have
yes,
you want to hang out with us, you know, this this ragtag crew of people, right? So
we're lucky.
Yes, we are very lucky. So we're going
to... We're unique.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. Yes. Minted. Well, before we get started, let's get a market update. Bitcoin's at 64,900. IBIT ETF is at 36.40. Ethereum's at 31.59. XRP is at 52 cents. Stellar XLM is at 11 cents.
What did you say Bitcoin was at?
$64,900.
Oh. Because I'm looking at last week's numbers.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's like, oh, but Bitcoin's going to tank. It was 64,772.
Just popped over 65.1 a second
right,
ago.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it didn't really, like,
I spent
tank.
Entirely too much of my time watching candles go up and down, even though I never intend to sell.
But. Ironically, most of the market is down. But Bitcoin and Ethereum's in the green zone.
Well, Ethereum, that's a talk for another day.
Shiola
Indeed.
Coin.
Yeah, something like that. But it's amazing what it... The numbers are,
yes.
And they've been that way for a while.
Well, some people like that Shiola.
It's the world's highest quality Shiola coin.
Yes, it is.
I guess if you're going to have Shiola, have top of the line. Anyhow, you're awfully quiet over there,
Yeah,
Lord.
I'm not a huge Shiola fan.
Me neither.
And his money will soon be parted.
Yeah. Yes, it's just stinky how they run the... Ethereum operation.
Ooh,
anyway,
yeah, did you see the
smell?
The OMG expose about the Ethereum stuff?
Jim? No.
Oh, you have to check it out.
Oh, we'll have
X.
to do that. Oh,
well,
that's right.
Twitter.
That was
Maybe
about
I'll
a week ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he went into the scandal with Ethereum.
Yes. Oh, I'll have to go back and watch that.
Ooh, the stink finger.
Yeah.
Okay, today's show is sponsored by the Queen of Dragons, home to Pinnacle Cultivators. Their carefully cultivated, unique strands offer elevated experience with exotic genetics and robust flavors. The Queen of Dragons is known for fair pricing, stringent quality control, and knowledgeable staff. Stay connected by following at Queen Dragons on X or calling 530-276-9771.
Well, if you'd like to join in on the conversation, and I think as we're warming up right now, it's probably going to be an interesting one. So,
yeah, good luck.
Yeah, give us a call here at the station at 530-605-4567 and, or hit us up on the chat at kcnr1460.com. And when you call in, you get to talk with our wonderful Christina. I mean, just a, such a beautiful person. So. Anyway.
Yeah, and it's not that scary. We, if you don't want to use your name or anything, it's okay.
Even if you want to comment about Shiola coins, it's okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Shiola coins.
Yeah. So, well, Christine, welcome back.
Thank
you. So good to have you here. You know, live here in the studio. I think the last time you were on it was by telephone, wasn't it?
No, I think I was here in January.
Okay.
Yeah.
My third in person.
Oh, wow.
And then two by phone.
Yeah, you see.
But she's been going all over. Didn't she just get back from somewhere?
From El Salvador, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The having party.
So what's your perspective on that? What? How was your experience? I know Elizabeth had her, she shared what she experienced with that. What was your takeaways?
It was something else to be able to see what's going on in that country. I hadn't been aware of how deep the trauma was because those people, they live locked up in their house all the time because the gangs would threaten everyone, and the amount of money they extorted from every business. If you wanted to do business in El Salvador, you had to pay the toll to the gangs. And so the people, they were so excited, and they couldn't stop talking about how everything had changed. And so, and one of the most touching experiences was listening to Max Kaiser and his wife, Stacy, talk about how they had received a large Bitcoin donation, and they had gone into areas that used to be completely controlled by gangs. At one of the places, their interpreter didn't even want to go with them because it was just known for just so much horrible things happening. And they went and they gave out Bitcoin and helped them receive it. And I was really struck with the whole idea of to one who's been given much, much is expected, and to see all the Bitcoiners around the world pouring into this country, wanting them to succeed, and the life that it's bringing and the joy of the people and the industry and people. We stayed in a hotel one night that had Bitcoin plastered everywhere. It was brand new. It was 7 months old. It wouldn't have been able to exist before Bukele. But then also just thinking, not just for El Salvador, right, as we're so blessed to be in this industry early, and if it continues to succeed, where are we called to sow and to help bring the promise of freedom money?
Right.
Well, you mentioned a key word there, freedom. Would you say that the Salvadorians are, if they were to be asked a question when you think about Bitcoin, what does that mean to you? Like many times we've heard that people coming from African nations, right, or African states, that would be the first thing that they say.
Well, I think, you know, everything is so new for them. We had one guy talk about his house used to be too small because everyone was locked up in it all day, and now it's too big because nobody's home anymore. And so they're still kind of growing into that. So
right.
I think right now it's just the relief of the freedom that they've been given there. So not everyone uses Bitcoin, but
you're saying freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, but which is economic in part because the gangs don't control it anymore. And so they have, like, if they have something in their heart to create industry that can flourish. And then the Bitcoin, I think they're experiencing, I had the privilege of meeting Mike, who was one of the guys that started Bitcoin Beach, and he's building a place that's kind of a meetup there for people. And he paid his people in Bitcoin for a very large project, and they held it, and now they're up 3x. So they're telling their friends, you know, so there is the number go up and the incentivization that comes from when you are earning your money in something that grows over time, then you're not as incentivized to just spend it. So Bitcoin itself is continuing to grow down there, but I think it's just an overall experience of being liberated and having all these people come from around the world to sow into their country. When we were there, Bukele just announced that he was opening up a passport or citizenship fast track for professionals. And so just the way that it's continuing to wash over them, one big package. So Bitcoin's a part of it.
Yes,
but there's a lot.
It was the catalyst behind all the change, people getting out of their homes because they're feeling safe.
Yeah, and they're just in the, you know, the early innings of this.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
So it's not like you can just flip a switch and go from basically a third world country and into modern world. So, you know, they're building out infrastructure. You know, I've heard there could be some road issues where you've got some crazy traffic, I've heard.
Right.
But, you know, it's early. And so at this early stage, they are prioritizing. They're saying, hey, we got to make it safe for our citizens. Hey, we've got to, you know, build this out. Hey, we need a new library. Hey, we need, you know, so it sounds like the right steps are being taken. It's not like, you know, moving to a place in America, I would imagine. I haven't been there yet. But from what I've heard, there's still, you know, issues with modernization and things. But we're going the right direction there, unlike some other countries we know.
I find it interesting, all that's going on in El Salvador, and we don't hear about it, except for people like Christine that's gone down there, or Elizabeth, or, you know, some of our resources within our little network, so to speak, of Bitcoiners, how it's changing. Because all you usually hear is how bad those places are, and how bad, and they're getting worse, and this.
Yeah.
Nothing to show the good side of what is going on down there.
Mainstream media doesn't want to throw those nuggets out there to us.
I really enjoy following President Bukele on X.
Yeah.
he's the meme lord, you know. And so he's been posting these memes of a skeleton looking out the window, and he's like still waiting for an apology. The whole world was telling him, well, you're going to go bankrupt, and you're not going to be able to pay back your loans, and he has. And but I think it's very purposeful. I mean, when I told my family and people I know that are from there, they were pretty scared for me. So there's not a
lot. Did you feel unsafe there?
No, no, not when I was there.
Would you move there?
I could see why people would move there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm sure there's
still parts. I could probably have a second or third home there.
Yes,
that
you don't want to be in.
Yeah.
Right. You know, just like anywhere.
And there's a very real. People have been traumatized for a very long time, and it takes a while to, you know, to accustom yourself to freedom. And so there's still
still in the early innings.
Yeah, exactly.
Fear goes away very slowly.
Mm. Oh, sure. Yeah, I can see that.
Yes.
I wonder if Bukele had to step away from the presidency for a while so that he could legitimately run again for re-election. Is there a limit on how many times he can be president? And do you know if they are courting a successor who can carry this, take the torch and run with it?
They're courting his brother.
Oh, I see.
Who's apparently a really smart guy, too. And I think, was this the first time this has ever been done? Because he wasn't supposed to be allowed a second term, so he left early, six months early, so that he could do it again.
Yeah, that's what I've heard also. Yeah. And I also heard the brother is
the guy. Gotta know the rules to play the game.
Right. The brother is the guy who actually orange-pilled Bukele.
Oh, interesting.
That is interesting.
Yes.
And he was tweeting about Bitcoin before he was president.
Right.
He knew about it.
Yeah.
Wow. One of the last memes I've seen of him, he had a chainsaw.
Oh, like Melee?
It's like, okay.
The great part about all of this, too, is it sounds like from reports that we get back from, you know, the front lines, the people in El Salvador love what's going on.
Yes.
They want Bukele to be there. And contrary to what we hear in America from mainstream media and whatnot, it's what the people want. So if the people down there want that, then who are we to, you know, tell them how to run their country? You know,
that's definitely the frustrating experience
part.
I had.
Yeah.
My driver, to the first place I was going, we drove for 3 hours. He's like, Bukele's building this road. And, you know, like, they are so happy. They talk about him as their president.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, cool.
Max Kaiser calls him the modern George Washington.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. What a great example. So he was elected by, what, over 70% of people?
89.
Yeah, it was a very high number. And it was paper ballots, right, and hand counting. Yeah. Was that correct?
Bad. All right. So there was
no tabulators.
No. That's okay. Why he won.
Okay. So
because it was really the will of the people.
I would say, yes, to your point. And then that staggering number of approval, overwhelming approval is you know, one vote, one count, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is.
That's very cool.
Wow. And it happened pretty quickly down there.
Yeah, within 2 years.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Which is awesome.
We need to take some notes.
He's tweeting that, too. Like, I can help you, Haiti, and I can help you.
Ecuador.
Yeah.
Ecuador, are you listening?
Yeah. There's, I think it's Paraguay, where there's a group that's actually using Bitcoin. Somehow, don't ask me exactly how they're doing it, to actually audit elections. Where it's using timestamps.
Oh, it's kind of like the blockchain,
right?
Yeah. Because we've kind of talked about that before, about the blockchain being in the voting here.
So it's a way to prevent voter fraud.
Well, I think the USPS has a patent on blockchain voting.
They do.
Postal Service.
Oh, the Postal Service has something valuable?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which they didn't use in the last election.
Yeah, it's would be about 10 years old, maybe 15 years old, and it was just kind of put back in the file cabinet, like, we don't need this right now.
And then,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I know a lot about the Postal Service. My mother was a postal.
Me too.
Lauren knows a little bit about it.
Yeah, but my mother worked for 25 years and retired out of the Postal Service. Yeah, so I know quite a bit. But anyway, so it's kind of funny.
It is hilarious.
I can tell you some stories anyway.
So we just had a Bitcoin halving.
The biggest news of the week.
Welcome to the new epoch.
That's or epoch.
Epoch.
Depending on your pronunciation.
We're arguing about before the show.
So Bitcoin, the mining rewards were cut in half as of, April 19th? But it didn't do anything to the fees and...
Well, it did something to the fees.
Well, it
did.
Didn't they go up a little bit for some of them?
It was really a Shiola thing, right?
Yes.
Oh, we're back to Shiola thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I run around in the Bitcoin mining space. So,
right.
You know, that's my industry. And so everyone, the halving is bittersweet because our revenue gets cut in half if the price doesn't go up. But it was stunning because I have an operating wallet for one of our Bitcoin mining projects. So I see every day how much we get, you know, we get mine rewards every day. And so before the halving, it was at like 4,500. And then the day after the halving, it was like 6,500, which means that even though the issuance was cut in half, the mining, the fees jumped up like 75%, which overall for the Bitcoin network is not great. I mean, we want to move to a place where we're using things like Lightning and people can transact free and instantly.
Right.
But as a miner, we're not complaining.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have about 116, 117 years before the last coin is mined. So it's going to be a long time to go. And every halving, 4 years, is that the mining reward is cut in half. Right now it's, 3.125? And
3.125.
We'll be half of that in 4 years.
But can you imagine when we get close to the end, we will mine an entire year and not even free one Bitcoin.
Right.
That's incredible.
That's crazy.
And look at all of the investments through the ETFs. All of the investment companies trying to get in and have a piece of Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were talking earlier, just like the mining pool, when we were talking, so that would make a lot of sense in 130 years or whatever to have the mining pool because your chances would be greater.
Yeah, I think if you're doing any kind of investment in Bitcoin mining, you do need mining pools. So basically...
Yeah. Can you explain what that is?
Absolutely. So there's all these different computers competing to win the block reward, and that only happens once every 10 minutes, approximately, somewhere around the world. So you could buy some equipment and mine your whole life and never win a block. It's kind of like winning the lottery. And so what they have is these mining pools where you gather together with other miners, and then you basically get your pro rata share. However much power you're contributing to that pool, then when somebody in the pool wins the block reward, then that those rewards are split up between everybody in the pool. So it it makes your distributions much more regular.
Now, when you say power, do you mean like power electricity power or power like computing power?
I mean hash power, which basically means the Bitcoin mining computers are basically gathering up the transactions and adding a number used only once, and they're hashing it or just putting it through the hashing algorithm to try to get an output that's below a certain number of zeros. So when we talk about mining hash rate or hash power, it's basically they're going guess until one of them gets the winning, starts with the right amount of zeros, they win the prize, publish to the network, and then they all start hashing again.
Thank you.
Can I backtrack back to a previous conversation when we were talking about the halving and fees going up?
Right.
Are we going to hit on that
later on?
Let's
talk about it now.
Okay, let's do it
now.
So somebody want to say the theory or the reason that fees spiked right after that? Anybody?
With the ordinals. The runes.
There's things called runes. So basically a new... Shinola, I guess is the word of the day, coin, and it's not even a coin. It is a type
token.
Of ordinal. If you want to dig further on it, feel free, but I won't go deeper. They decided to launch the block after the halving, so people were bidding. It was like a bidding war on fees to try to mint these things on the Bitcoin blockchain. Hence, the fee market went berserko for... I don't know, a good day. It's still higher than normal, but it's already on the way down because they're running out of fee money, basically, is what's happening. So I'll end it there and let you guys ramble on.
That was an investment that had no winners except for the miners.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
the miners were happy.
Yeah, the miners were very happy. Yeah. It's just – and you know, I don't think Satoshi ever considered the notion of ordinals.
Right.
And now the – evolving to runes.
Yeah.
You know, and what are we going to have? Well, I won't even go there. I was going to say prunes, but whatever.
Runes. Runes sounds really close to ruins.
Yeah, ruins. That's
ruins.
Great. Yes.
But anyway.
Rune was also the token on Thorchain, was it not?
That's a good question that thankfully I don't know.
I don't know either. Hmm? Yes.
It was just another one of the you-know-whats.
Yes.
Yes.
Shinolas.
Shiola.
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 Shiola. Well, and that is the question, right?
Good job, ladies.
So Bitcoin versus everything else. I mean, that's
right,
the big discussion going on.
Exactly.
Do you want Bitcoin to just be a store of value, medium of exchange, just vanilla, gold standard, do what it does? Or do you want it to also try to replace what Ethereum and these other blockchains are claiming to do? And it's an interesting discussion.
For sure.
I think there's points to both sides of it, and
agreed.
Good people disagree on
it.
And it all depends on which other ones you're talking about.
Exactly. And they throw a lot of heat at each other and, you know, try to discredit one another. In actuality, that's one of the points that this show actually is founded upon, which is freedom. And freedom is the ability to choose what you want to do.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll respect their opinion respectfully, and in a lot of these cases I disagree. But I wanted to go back also to a point where when we were talking about that, about the halving and everything, does anybody know what percentage of coins, basically when they're talking about mining, that's the process that coins are minted, and that's how they come into existence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So how many are in existence? It's like 90-something percent
92%.
Yeah, so 92%.
It's 98, I think.
It's way up there. It's
very large number.
It's in the 90s.
Yeah.
And it's
definitely in the 90s.
Yeah,
so
I didn't think it was that high, but wow.
It's very high.
Out of all of the 21 million bitcoins that will ever exist, 90-something percent already exist, and the amount that are actually being created on a daily basis just got cut in half.
Yep.
So I kind of wanted to clarify that. And when we are saying also that it's going to take, you know, the next 100 years, this happening happens every 4 years, which we refer to as the epoch or epoch. And
right, we're in the fifth.
And, yeah. So these rewards, basically the amount of Bitcoin that are going to come into existence, get chopped in half every 4 years, and we're at like 3.5 one something right now. The amount of Bitcoin actually being minted daily is very small. The amount of Bitcoin on exchanges right now is like 1.73 million or something. The amount of available Bitcoin for sale is drastically dropping, and there's the actual it's like classic supply and demand, economics 101. The demand is increasing, especially with these ETFs, with other buyers, with other countries, with millionaires who are realizing that their big stash of cash is being melted away like ice cubes.
Yeah, so isn't it kind of hard to tell exactly how many is out there?
It's hard to tell.
Well, you don't know how many have been lost.
Right.
People that maybe 5 million will never get back because they're lost forever. And we don't know if Satoshis will mine.
Another thing is that there's a lot of wallets out there that have such a small amount that it will never be moved because of the fees. It would cost too much, more than it's worth.
Right. Especially as fees go up.
Yes. Right. Yes. So, but you know, let's talk about those ETFs because one of the weird things, well, now with the ETFs,
should we talk about the ETFs?
Yeah,
after
we'll
break?
Talk about that after we take a break, and we'll pick up this conversation in about 5 minutes. We'll
see you in
see you
five,
then.
Everybody.
Yes, and here we go.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragon. At Black Bear Diner, sandwich stacks are here, and they're tall on irresistible flavors. Indulge in a double bacon stack, hand-breaded crispy chicken stack, a tri-tip cheddar stack, or a crispy cod stack. There's a stack for everyone. Get yours today at Black Bear Diner. Now available for limited time. Served all day, every day. In Redding on Hilltop Drive, order one now at blackbeardiner.com.
Black Bear Diner.
Hello, this is Rollin from the Flag Center. Are you thinking about a new flagpole for Memorial Day or 4th of July? Well, now is a good time. Currently, our high-quality Titan telescoping poles are on sale at prices too low to advertise. These beautiful silver or dark bronze poles are backed by a lifetime warranty and wind-rated at 95 miles per hour. The Flag Center, 2124 Hilltop Drive, since 1982.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Your host here with the latest local updates. In a continuing town hall exclusive headline, Shasta Lake City Council disregards mayor's elder abuse. Mayor defies court orders. During last Tuesday's City Council meeting, Shasta Lake resident Christy Matthews presented court findings detailing Mayor Janice Powell's elder abuse case. A Superior Court judge found Powell guilty of breach of trust, fiduciary duty, unjust enrichment, and financial elder abuse. Although she has yet to be criminally charged, these findings constitute crimes. The judge removed Powell as a trustee for exploiting her father's advanced dementia to transfer a vehicle title to herself and refusing to vacate her parents' home when they moved to assisted living, causing financial hardship. The court ordered Powell to return the classic 1968 Chevelle and impose substantial penalties exceeding $100,000. Despite these penalties, Powell has yet to return the vehicle. The City Council failed to act, with Councilmember Pamela Morgan supporting Powell and Councilman Watkins dismissing it as a, quote, family matter. Meanwhile, the other two council members were silent. A few supporters of Mayor Powell defended Powell's misconduct, blaming the judge and repeating Powell's version of the facts.
Matthews urged the city to collaborate with the Commission on Aging, the District Attorney, and Adult Protective Services to avoid further embarrassment by promoting elder abuse awareness. However, due to the inaction of the City Council, she left the meeting feeling, quote, the city tactically condones elder abuse. The court's verdict, the imposed penalties, the mayor's position, and the City Council's failure to engage the pressing necessity for swift measures to address elder abuse and ultimately regain the community's confidence in the city's leadership. In stark contrast to our first story, the community recently came together to honor a true hero who dedicated his life to serving others. Fred Salanti, a Vietnam War veteran and founder of the Missing in America Project, MIAP, was laid to rest on Tuesday, April 16, 2024, at the Northern California Veterans Cemetery in Igo, leaving behind a legacy of compassion and unwavering commitment to his fellow veterans. Dozens gathered to pay their respects and celebrate the life of a man who dedicated himself to serving others. Through MIAP, Salanti and his team have interred approximately 6,700 unclaimed veterans who had no known family or next of kin. His efforts helped pave the way for the Dignified Burial Act, which became law in 2012. Friends and colleagues shared memories of Salanti during the service, noting his unwavering commitment to honoring his fellow veterans. Salanti's passion for helping others extended beyond MIAP. He assisted local children with terminal diseases and was involved in numerous veteran-focused organizations. His legacy will live on through the countless lives he touched and the ongoing work of MIAP. As a former Army major, Salanti lived a life of service to others, earning him the title of a quiet hero among those who knew him best. He rode around on a three-wheeled motorcycle, garnering a devoted following of supporters, always ready to help with whatever was needed for the veterans he served. Fred Salanti's dedication to honoring unclaimed veterans and serving others has left an indelible mark on countless lives. His legacy inspires us to continue the vital work of the Missing in America Project and ensure every veteran receives the dignified burial that they deserve. As we bid farewell to this remarkable hero, let us remember his compassion, devotion, and the profound impact he had on the world around him. The family asks anyone interested to direct donations to the website at miap.us/donate. Thank you for listening to your Town Hall Brief. Become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X, formerly Twitter.
And we're back.
Who picks this music?
I do.
Oh, you do a great job.
Oh, thank you. It was really hard, you know. If you don't
lots
know,
to choose
Dick,
from.
Well, Dickie Betts just passed away at 80. If you know who Dickie Betts is, one of the best guitar players there ever was.
R.I.P. Dickie.
Yeah, Allman Brothers Band.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, he's like the Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
I'm that old.
He did Ramblin' Man.
Mm-hmm.
And Jessica. And those, yeah, I go way back with stuff. But anyway, before we took a break, we were talking a lot of different things, but we were going to hit upon ETF.
We were talking about supplies.
And yeah. Supplies and fees. And
yeah. So you mentioned that I worked at an RIA, actually hot off the press. I do not anymore because we let go of our financial licenses so that we can focus 100% on Bitcoin mining investment.
Oh,
so
that is fantastic.
I asked
how
my business partner what we are now. He's like, we're a Bitcoin development company.
So does that mean you have less regulations under the thumb of the government?
Yes.
So, nice.
So, but having the perspective of having been at an RIA, these ETFs are such a big deal because it's this super highway now where the investment from Wall Street just with a click of the button from your brokerage account. And one of the things that's masking the huge amount of demand with these is the fact that Grayscale has been dumping, and it even though they're dumping hundreds and millions of dollars worth at a time, the net inflow, the stuff that the rest of the ETFs are eating up is about 10 to 15. This was before the halving. Days worth of supply the ETFs were eating, but now with the halving, the amount of demand just coming from the ETFs is going to be a month's worth at
sure.
a time.
Wow.
I have a question about the Grayscale dumping. I've always been wondering, are they doing this deliberately, disgorging, or is it just that everybody wants to get rid of their GBTC and can't Yeah.
That's a good question. I've wondered that myself. I think there's a lot going on. So there was all the bankruptcies from FTX, and a lot of that money was locked up. And so then they were liquidating in order to pay back debtors.
Yep.
And then you have the high fees things. But some people have a lot of capital gains, and it's not really in their interest to dump it.
Right.
So then you wonder, were companies like BlackRock and Fidelity buying in for a long time ahead of time so that when this came around, they could dump those positions in order to maybe take the price down a little bit and then pull their new stuff in? But there's also you know, on Binance, it's not happening with the ETFs, but on Binance, you can leverage, right? So you can make a bet. Like, I bet Bitcoin's going to go up, and if it goes down a certain amount, I lose the coins that I lock up, and or you could take the other side of that bet. I bet it's going to go down, and if it goes up. Well, if you are watching where those open interest is the word they use, positions are, where the bets are, Bitcoin will inevitably, practically every week, wick down, liquidate those coins after hours, and then the big ETFs get to feast on all these cheap Satoshis. So there's a lot going on. I would not be shocked if there's some manipulation going on all sides. But the good news is Grayscale's going to run out of coins to dump. And at this point, BlackRock has not had a single day of outflows, which means they're only buying.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. Larry Fink came out, I don't know, what is it, about 6-8 months ago, where all of a sudden he did a flip.
That Bitcoin was good.
Yeah, and he became a Bitcoin maxi.
Yeah. Yeah.
He says, doggone it, you got to have 60% of your portfolio, 60%, you know, maybe more.
Yeah. I wanted to also just piggyback on what Christine was saying. When the ETFs were approved, Grayscale Bitcoin Trust had over 600,000 Bitcoin, and as they've been dumping, they are down just over 300,000 now, so they've lost half their Bitcoin, and the biggest ETF, the IBIT, has 270-something thousand now, so we're actually going to see within the next couple of weeks Grayscale get overtaken by just one of the largest other ETF. So when you combine all the rest, they do pass Grayscale already. But within the next couple of weeks, just the next largest one down after Grayscale will actually end up overtaking it. So that's an interesting side note, just so you have some context. Which also, I think this is how we got into this, was supply and demand. But as these all squeeze, it's going to just squeeze supply more. I mean, we already hear of reports of OTC folk calling whales, asking for, hey, do you have any extra coins we can buy, blah, 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 blah. So the squeeze is already starting, I think, and so it's going to be interesting to watch this all play out.
Definitely, because the thing about the over-the-counter is it doesn't move the price so much. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes
for sure
that we're not seeing yet in the price. And I was mentioning anecdotally, we use Coinbase Institutional to pass back our investors' Bitcoin to them. And I have a read-only wallet to the place I send it on Coinbase. So I send the coins to Coinbase, and then they're gone immediately because they're put on the exchanges. So they're being bought and sold. But I only want them there for enough time to pass them back to my investors. And so we schedule them to get passed back, and it takes Coinbase over 6 hours.
Right.
To send those out. I'm like, there is no reason other than I don't know what's going on with your supply there, but that doesn't make any sense.
To Linda's question of can we trust these numbers? So you can actually go to like CoinGlass. There's a handful of places where you can actually go and visually see how many coins all of these exchanges are reporting. And, you know, that's where I get my number of 1.73 million.
Right.
I have a question.
That goes into the, what everybody's saying here, which is, are these being reported correctly?
Correct.
Are the coins technically for sale, or are they coins being counted that they're custodying, or that they're, somebody like your
my coins that we had no intention of selling.
Right.
Yeah. Go ahead, Doc.
You can go on Glassnode and audit Bitcoin. Can you do that with U.S. dollars? Can you do that with gold?
That's a great question, and I think we all know the answer to that.
That would be like asking to audit the Fed, which I think's been asked many times, but is not yet
happened.
I think they
were going to audit the military-industrial complex September 10th, 2001, right?
Oh.
They had announced they were going to do an audit.
Is that when they lost
the building
trillion,
where a lot of the documents were?
September 10th.
Day. Yeah.
I remember that. Yes.
I just think that all of it, that even if they audit, they're not going to disclose all of the information that we want.
Right.
On any side of it.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the problem is the players are playing, and to grayscale and stuff. I think they're playing a game, and it may come back and bite them in the end. You know how they're moving the chess pieces here.
Right.
Maybe they're not good chess players.
Mm-hmm. Remember, we used to have a large auditing firm. Wasn't it Arthur Anderson or something like that? That was the large. And any time there was some sort of oversight and investigation, you had Arthur Anderson, and then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
They were embroiled in conspiracy, and
what
happened with them?
They were bad?
So something like, you know, going into the Fed.
Well,
you have to have an outside third party to do something like that.
Kind of like the rating
you...
agencies before the 2008 crash? Like,
right.
Or the inflation numbers.
Yeah, how can you audit? You can't audit something if the numbers keep changing so quickly, like the Federal Reserve does. How can you audit those numbers because they're changing faster than you can look at them?
So we live in such manipulated information at every level. You know, and one of the things
so
I like
misinformation,
which is why Bitcoin is like a wrecking ball, because you can only fudge it so much. As soon as they say they've got more coins than exist, you know, you call
we
their bluff.
Audit that.
But one of the, I mean, I just think that the system is so, we've been living under this for so long. One of the things I watch is silver, right? And so they're saying, oh, all this new solar production, well, all that takes silver, and now they're going to 3X it. But there's not enough to go around, and right now there's this arbitrage where in Asia, they have another exchange where they're like, well, we'll pay you $5 more for your silver, so guess what? It's going abroad, and... You know, one day, the game of musical chairs, the music stops, and there's not going to be enough chairs to sit down in.
Exactly.
That's 100%
Bitcoin is
true.
I think that maybe, I don't know. I mean, do I totally trust BlackRock in the space? No.
No.
But
right.
The thing is, Bitcoin is the honey badger. And
right.
So what are they going to do when there's just not enough coins, and you can't fake that?
Right. No, you can't. And on a happy note, at least I take solace in it, is the fact that there are not enough coins out there that will be available ever in infinity that it could be substantial enough to really even make an impact on the total number. So let's say that all the coins out there right now that are for sale would even be a small fraction of the total supply. So people like Michael Saylor, BlackRock, who technically, I mean, it's a honeypot of sorts because, I mean, look what's going on in our country, which we should probably touch on in this show too, because there was some travesties in our country this week. But anyway, the U.S. government could step in and technically seize that big pot of coins, but it's not really, in the grand scheme, going to be a giant pot of coins anyway. It's not really going to matter that much.
No, I totally
agree
with that.
Right.
True.
Like, everything is good for Bitcoin. That little slogan still holds up. So I have yet to see a time, like we just talked about runes, we talked about ETH, we talked about Shinola. Thank you. Sing it together. On three.
Shinola.
Lovely. Any of this stuff, really, there's been some delays in Bitcoin, but it hasn't hurt Bitcoin. If anything, it strengthens Bitcoin. My resolve is stronger than ever, and I know a ton of, you know, the early Bitcoin adopters like myself, when we talk, their resolve is strong as ever. It's a truth serum. In this sea of noise, in this sea of misinformation, in this sea of untruths, there is a truth, and it's not all about Bitcoin. This isn't a Bitcoin religion. This show is about freedom, truth, love, everything on the good side of the spectrum. And Bitcoin is a tool that can get us there as a society, as a humanity. And when we're hopeless and lost in this world where we're being lied to by our quote-unquote leaders, it's nice to know that there is that anchor of hope in Bitcoin, in a tool like Bitcoin.
Yeah, very well said, yes.
And even just to throw out, why is this cycle different? Because, you know, in the past, there's been pullbacks after the halving. But we're in an, because to Lauren's point about even if Michael Saylor were to dump every single one of his coins instantly, or the U.S. government, or, you know, what kind of impact is that going to make in the market? And two things to remember. One, you have people that have been holding since 50 cents a coin. Yep. And if it drops from 65 to 50, you know, they're still not going to sell.
Right.
But
for
then
sure.
Now you have Wall Street where they're putting 1% of their portfolio, 5% of their portfolio, maybe. They're not the same people that are going to freak out and get liquidated. They're like, okay, so 1% of my portfolio went down a little bit. Eh, so 100%. What? I'm going to keep holding and maybe buy the dip. And so we are in new territory now.
Without a doubt.
Let me speak to that. Some of the funds will be forced by rules to maintain the fixed percentage. So if the price goes down,
that's right.
They will have,
they have to buy more.
Right. That works both ways, too, because they usually will do some shuffling if they get above that as well. So we will see buys and sells because of the reason that Doc mentioned, but
which
all
will
valid
decrease
points.
Volatility?
Right, exactly.
Yes.
And I'm 100% with volatility decreasing. Christine mentioned also that, you know, this kind of played out. And from January until now, 300 coins just puked into the into the market. And not only were they absorbed.
$5 billion worth of coins from Grayscale. $5 billion.
Not only were they absorbed, Bitcoin price went up.
Yeah.
So we reached new all-time highs. And guess what? When you factor in supply shock, we're in uncharted territories. People that talk about history and about the epochs are
well, the whole thing with Bitcoin, you're in uncharted territory. We've never been here before, period, across the board.
Yeah.
Right.
Very true.
None of which is financial advice.
No, it's not financial advice.
It's from me.
To understand the market.
The unchartedness is the excellent part.
Unchartedness. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about fees. What's the way around fees? I mean, it looks as though the focus has got to be on layer two development.
Right.
Definitely.
Build out of Lightning.
High fees do impact things like Lightning.
Sure.
Honestly, Lightning doesn't work that great in high fees. High fees impact some wallets even.
Sure.
High fees impact a lot of things.
I was gonna
but
say, yeah.
The way I see it and a lot of this is just game theories, and because we haven't walked in, we've never done going forward. This is all new territory.
Right.
So it's game theory, but it looks like we will have to go these directions. We will have to use layer twos and layer threes. We will have to use things like Aqua, Liquid, the pegging in and pegging out, which we won't have fee exposure involved, because there's a lot of countries where if we're using Bitcoin or you know, maybe not on the base layer, but layer two or layer three. We can't afford the volatility. They can't afford to make a transaction on the base layer to purchase something small. So without a doubt, Bitcoin will end up, you know, a reserve type money or currency, and then we will have to build on the second, third layers and whatnot.
Absolutely. And it's an opportunity for more innovation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's positive.
Undoubtedly. That's why
Bitcoin finds a way to solve problems.
For sure. And I'm not going to tag everything as Shinola coin. What's the word?
It's Shiola.
Thank you. I'm not going to tag everything as Shiola coin because one day we're going to wake up and hear about a new coin and we're going to just automatically tag it as a Shiola. However, it may actually be the second layer that actually works on Bitcoin.
Is that what it's been discussed? Isn't it Coinio? Is that what?
Yeah, there's things out there, but I reserve judgment until I actually do a lot of study on it, and I want to respect other people's opinions. Like we mentioned, this being a free country, and I don't want to be classified or labeled as like, oh, you're a maximalist, and then we're going to just shove you in this drawer over here with all these other crazy people or anything like that, even though I'm kind of the opinion that I haven't seen anything out there yet, and I used to mess around with a lot of altcoins because I was trying to get rich, you know. Yeah. So, but
do your homework and find out about it because.
Yeah.
Speaking of other coins, we all know in this area there was at one time everybody. How'd you know I was going there?
That
and
was
everybody,
such a cheesy situation.
Oh yeah, but my point is, you know, everybody was jumping on. Not everybody, but a lot of people were jumping on that, like. oh, we're on the train and we're going to make all this money.
Slicing right into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it didn't work too good.
I think that there's some altcoins that are worthwhile. I mean, I don't have a problem with some of them.
But it's kind of like the stock market or anything. If you're in it to make money and you're sitting there and you're watching it constantly, then it could be to your benefit. But if you're like me, I don't want to sit there. I don't have time. I don't do the stock market to sit there to play it every day to see when, I'm going to hold them. No, now you're going to sell. No, hold it. Pull it back, you know, and all of that.
Traders usually don't do well anyway.
You know what Michael Saylor said about that in a recent talk within the last year? And if you wanted that, trading Bitcoin is a sign of low intellect.
Yes.
Same with stocks.
Yes.
And here's why. You only can make money 1% of the time or something really low like that. If you're not in the market that 1% of the time, then you can't do it. So, boom, he said it.
Yeah. There is my point there.
It's a great point. And also, every other coin token project was created to make their founders rich.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, and you just have to remember that. You know,
right. And when you're trading those things
outside of Bitcoin.
Well, you know, Satoshi is such a mysterious figure.
Yes.
He never touched his coins.
That's
and he didn't pre-mine.
Right.
And that's the whole distinction of why the other ones may well be called securities.
Sure.
Because it is a contract. You want to make money, and there's a team that controls it, and you don't know who's got those original coins.
I was going to say, do we know if he's got any or not? We don't know that.
Every other coin, except for Bitcoin, has an issuer.
That's exactly
correct.
Right. Exactly that. Which is why I always say proof. You know, the use of energy is a feature, not a bug.
Right.
Because you have to do the work in order to get the coin.
Proof
of work. He
didn't
just get to gift himself with a percentage of it.
You'll get an argument from folks that are huge altcoin advocates saying that he did, in fact, pre-mine, meaning that in their definition that he was the first one to mine and that he did mine a bunch of coins because he's the one that actually flicked the button on and started this whole process.
Sure.
But we know that that stash of coin exists and hasn't been touched, even though we know recent what's his name? Tried to go in and say he was Satoshi.
Craig Wright.
Tried to claim he was
Satoshi.
He wanted to access those coins. But in actuality, that's not true, but I've heard the argument from altcoiners, so definitely not the same. It's actually altcoins have more in common with the dirty fiat of today, the current monetary system, and Bitcoin stands alone as the only decentralized truth serum out there when it comes to monetary networks.
I would agree. I would think at the table about that.
It was immaculately conceived.
Amen.
Yeah, and just the reasons behind it. That's still mysterious.
Right.
It is. Yeah. 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 There is some reason, and I hope that we get to see the reason.
Yeah. But if we don't, we're probably...
It's beautiful, though.
Yeah.
And
beautiful.
It's like, I have my reasons.
Well, at least we're a part of it. We may not see the total end results, which we won't.
Right.
But we are part of the process, which is beautiful.
Well, and putting it in the Genesis block, Chancellor on the brink, a second bailout of banks. I mean,
right.
Loud and clear.
Yes, it is.
What he, she, they
it
were looking at.
It could have been
at.
A PSYOP, too.
Yeah, we have yet
you
to
never
see.
Know.
A,
it could
a
be a lot of things, but
I hate
do.
To be a Debbie Downer here.
Yeah, we can't end on that.
Well, no, I still like it that we're part of the process, and it's something that's going to go on for quite a while.
Absolutely.
And it's going to help society all over the globe.
And look at what it's done in El Salvador.
That's what I mean.
Back,
it's not
right?
a Debbie
that's
Downer.
Right. Yeah.
It's a Debbie Upper.
It changes the calculus of violence.
Well, and we are the network, right?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
We're
people.
Developing. It's open source software.
Yep.
And so it continues to move on and move forward. And
yeah, for sure. A tool for
I
the
like
people.
I like that. You said that changes the calculus of violence.
Right. I used to say it does away with violence. But that's not necessarily truthful. We'll always have violence.
Yep. And I think we're just about out of time, everybody. I want to thank everybody. It was great conversation.
Yeah,
really
thank
fun.
You for Chris.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
Aww, coming in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, gotta
we
come back.
We always love having you on the show.
Maybe I will.
Yeah, we know you will. You'll be back.
I'll be back.
Yeah.
All right.
You might see her quite a bit here or listen to her if she's here during the summer.
Ah, yeah. know.
We'll see you.
Never know.
To be continued. Never know.
To be continued. Yes,
to be continued. So everybody have a great week.
Thank you.
We will see you next time.
Adios.
See you next week, everybody.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
And there's plenty of room for all.
That was fun.
Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.